Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and worship you today. Just lift up John to you right now. Just be with him as he shares a message that you have laid on his heart to share to us. And thank you for his willingness to share and just be with him. Give him clarity of thought. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, everyone. I would ask for two prayer requests today. Number one is that I can share what I believe God's been working with me and in my life for maybe since COVID started, because some of it's going to be a little bit about COVID. And I would just pray also for my voice that it will last as I share this morning and we can get through this. In 1907, George W. Jenkins was born in Harris City, Georgia. Driven by a strong compass to do the right thing for the right reason, a strong work ethic, unsustainable drive to connect with fellow human beings. At the age of 17, he moved to Florida and started working for Piggly Wiggly, the supermarket, cleaning their floors and clerking. His motto was that there was a different way to do business, a different way to treat people. Being successful in managing this store, he wanted to meet the chain store owner to see how he could help more. And after working on a time to meet, he took a long trip to the corporate office. He sat there all day, just waiting to meet the owner, only to be told at the end of the day that the owner was way too busy for him. George decided that a better experience was needed for customers to feel welcome, and they mattered. In 1930, at the age of 26, he opened his own store, right next to the previous one he managed. After a few years of running a successful customer-friendly store, he purchased another one. He soon went on to open more stores. His motto was this: you lead with honesty and integrity, but most of all, you learn to respect the dignity of others. George W. Jenkins passed away in 1996, and on his deathbed, he was asked, if you haven't given away so much, how much do you think you'd be worth today? Without a hesitation, he replied, probably nothing. George Jenkins owned 1,100 stores. He employed over 170,000 employees. And I'm sure many of you know these. If you go to the southeastern states, the store is called Publix. George Jenkins was born on September 29, 1907, He died on April 8, 1996. But he wasn't known by how he was born. He wasn't known by how he died. He was known by the hyphen that was in his epitaph. And this morning, I'd like to talk about the hyphen. What the significance of this really is, and I believe it's something that gets spoke about a lot at funerals, but often for the people that are there, it's too late. The hyphen in our life story is not complete here on earth, and we have an opportunity to believe, the opportunity to bless and love those that we encounter each and every day. It's like having a book with a whole pile of empty pages, and we get the chance to write our own story. Yes, God is in control, but we got the choices to make. Today I titled the message, We Are Called. And it was something I was thinking about a lot more over the time of COVID started and the times that we are in now. You know, this scare created a colossal shift in the world's thinking. And a lot of people are very fearful. I'm sure there's many different opinions, even in this group here. But I don't think we ever before had countries that would around the world unite like we did in the last few months or in a year. And what did they unite around? They united around fear of what could happen to them. We currently live in a time that advocates have been fighting for removing good moral teaching from our schools, even from churches. Anywhere they can, they remove it. They believe that the human race is just inherently good, and we know that it's not. But we are sinful, and we are in need of a Savior. As time marches on, the Bible talks about many antichrists. It says there's going to be a lot. But more significantly, there'll be one that will be known above all others. And this will cause a great falling away from what is pure to what is disguised as pure. And I believe, again, there will be a seismic shift in the thinking of the world, the whole world, every country, every nation, and every being, but for a few, and that few is the Christians. The few that actually follow the call of Christ. Those that actually understand and know what the Word of God says. I believe that being a Christian, some people think it doesn't really matter what the Bible says. They're just considered a Christian. But if they don't know what the Word of God is going to be, they will be deceived in this time. Christ alone can save the world. But if our knowledge is not abounding in truth and what we read and what we listen to and what we hear, we too could be deceived. This morning I'm going to be bouncing around through quite a few passages, but you're welcome to follow after. The first one would be in 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2:3-12 says this: Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God and is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and will destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. For this reason, God sends them powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie, and so that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. I often hear people say this statement, and I was one of these people as well, and I still somewhat say this, but if I could only see some amazing miracles, I would believe, right? My faith would be stronger. If I would only see these miracles, I would know that God exists. So they will eventually see a God, but it's going to be the Antichrist. He'll be setting himself up with powers of Satan, like it says in the verse, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So think about the generations that will be destroyed because they don't know what's right. They don't know what's coming. They don't even know right from wrong in some areas. It says here he will set himself up in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Think about the generation of those who they don't currently know. They know no God. Will they not be easily deceived because of the signs and wonders of a false God? This again will cause the whole world to turn. Christians will be few, and we will not have the mark of association. This will drive wrath of many nations against the elect, and it will be focused on us versus some individual cause or something like COVID. So this morning I'd like to talk about four areas that I've been thinking about in the last year, areas that that I want to grow in and I think can help us in our Christian life today, that will help us in this current time that we're living in. And my question is, are we ready to commit? Are we ready to love? Are we ready to stand? And are we ready to sacrifice? Or is it just when our freedoms aren't challenged that we're ready to do this? Number one, are we ready to commit? I believe the best commitment in life is when we make it, and when we say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. And that's what we do. We follow his will for our life. Excuse me. Each of us is responsible to respond to God's call by committing our heart, our mind, our body, and our soul and our life to serve him. To share the gospel, whether it's here at home, whether it's in another country far away, and we're to be ambassadors. We're called to be ambassadors of his word in this world. I'm sure there's many of us sitting here that would say, I've had lots of opportunities to witness, lots of opportunities to help somebody, but we did not respond. We just kind of went our way and did our own thing, and we missed that opportunity to plant a seed. And I believe that God says, serving God requires a total commitment. And what does Jesus say about a total commitment? In Matthew 22, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And I don't think I told this story before. I was coming back from somewhere up north, and I was pulling a big trailer coming down 419, and I just flashed down 419, and I saw something just sitting over in the weeds, and this is, I think, late winter. I thought that was kind of weird. I wonder what that was. And the more I thought about that, it seemed like it was somebody sitting there. And I went home and took the truck and trailer home and got another truck and got Beth because I didn't know what we're going to run into, and got a light and drove up 419. And me being concerned about everything, I shone the light on and said, hey, can I help you? What's wrong? And thinking it was somebody, I wasn't for sure. And all of a sudden, the person sits up, takes off their hood and turns around with these eyes like, I need help, not knowing what to do, what to say. And there, here was a lady that was concerned or scared, and I didn't know what to do, so she jumped in her truck, and I said, I can take you up. I know the police chief at Tibahawken. I called Chris, and he wasn't available, and he said, call in, and they'll send somebody out to help. And I didn't want to make a big scene out of this, but I wanted to help somebody, and she needed help. She said she was driving down some road, I don't even know if it was on 419, with her boyfriend, I think it was, and they had an argument. And while they're driving down the road, she opens up the door and just jumps out of the car. And I was like, well, are you hurt? Is everything all right? And she was fine. But looking at her with the light on the truck, I could tell there was something wrong. Like her eyes weren't right. And the way she was acting, I didn't know she was most likely on drugs. But I knew that I didn't have the means to help her. So I called, like Chris said, I called the police. And they came out, and I thought, we're not going to make a big scene. Well, anyways, they said, take her to Sheets, we'll meet you there. I ended up at Sheets with three police cars around my truck. Chris Hostetler pulls in and calls me, right, hey, is everything going all right? And I'm like, yes, it's fine. We're just trying to help somebody. I don't know what happened to her. I hope that we plant a seed in her life that she knows other people care for her. It's kind of hard to find out, but just take the opportunities. There's times when you take the opportunity, you will be blessed. You might not be blessed right now, but eventually you will be blessed. The reward will be yours. Proverbs 16, 1 through 4 is the next verse as I like to read. Proverbs 16, 1 through 4 says this. To a man belongs the plans of his heart, but from the Lord the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. No matter what you do, if somebody takes that and uses that incorrectly or wrong, remember the last word. God can use people that are wicked for the day of disaster. For whatever his will is, God will use whether this person is good or this person is sinful. Committing our lives to God and to God's course for our life will bring blessings for all of us. He never leaves us alone. He graces us with hope in our journey and gives us peace that we can't understand but drives out fear, right? So the peace that he can give us will drive out fear. Probably the most simple and common commitment analogy is a bride and a groom. I had an opportunity to be at my nephew's wedding Friday night, and I had to think about this. We were sitting above a hill looking out over Long Level, And it was a beautiful scene. But they were not concerned about the scene. They were concerned about looking into each other's eyes. They were focused on each other. They were standing at the altar, ready to make a lifelong commitment to each other, till death do us part. And like I said, they weren't distracted. They knew what they were there for. Number two, are we ready to love? I'd like to read some, we know these verses, but 1 Corinthians 13. Says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And verse 8 wraps up and says, love never fails. Tim tells a story of being in college. His team was undefeated for the whole year in the football season, but he lost in the championship game. A week later, he decided to go out for dinner. They were getting ready for the college football award ceremonies. And he went out to dinner. He said his family was there, and he was feeling all alone and sulking. But the waitress came up to him and said, Tim, there's somebody that came all the way from Virginia to see you. He said their daughter had dealt with not one, but multiple brain tumors. She had cerebral palsy and some other struggles that were never going to go away in her lifetime. Tim agreed to meet Kelly, even though he said he was feeling dejected and sulking in his misery. But here was Kelly. Her main goal in life was to make a difference in the people around her. So he went on to ask Kelly to join him for his date to the college football ceremony for the awards. And he said this, when the first award that he was eligible was announced, he lost. The second one was announced, and he lost. The third was announced, and he lost. Before the last award was announced, he was feeling dejected from losing again and again and winning nothing. And he sat there, and he said that before the last award was announced, someone leaned over to him and whispered, Tim, no matter what happens, you already won. You showed unconditional love and made a big difference in someone else's life. You gave Kelly an opportunity that she would not have had. Tim Tebow won no awards that night, but he won the friendship of a young lady that today is working harder than ever to make a difference in the people around her and other people's lives. So one of the things I like to, as you go about your day, remember the people you see. Did you ever think about that everyone you see is made in the image of God? And Peter says this about people. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our small group was together last month, and something we heard that night was, when someone tells you something important in their life, do you remember to check back with them to see how it went? Like, how was it? And the challenge I want to pass on is we have these things that we all carry around on our phones, right? And they prompt us about everything and anything, and we get tired of that. They prompt us about the weather, what to buy, what not to buy, what's good, what's bad. But did you ever use it to remind you in a day or two to call that person back and to ask them how they're doing or how that maybe a concern they had or what they had? Have you taken that opportunity to remind yourself to show them that you care? That you care about them. And another statement that this gentleman that we were watching this show said this: if people stop telling you about what's going on in your life, going on in their life, it means they already perceived that you do not care. So think about that. Does our Christian faith drive us to care about our family and our friends and about those that we meet? Number three. Are we ready to stand? The next verses are familiar, and it goes out to the disciples. Jesus told this to the disciples, and it's in Matthew 10. So when the disciples were ready to go out, and he was going to send them on their own, this is what he said to them. Matthew 10, 16 through 20. And this is talking about, are you being ready to stand? He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. But you, therefore, wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But be aware of them, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought on how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And I had to think about another story I know, and I read is, but it was a hymn that was inspired by a dying message of Dooley Ting. I'm not sure how to say his last name, but he was a young preacher in Philadelphia, where he grew up, and he was forced to resign from the church pastoral team that he was part of because he spoke out against slavery in the 1800s. So, in addition to starting a new church, Ting and other ministers, they started to preach at the YMCA. And they started having revival meetings there, and soon thousands of people were coming to these revival meetings. It says in March 1858, Ting preached a sermon to 5,000 young men, at which over 1,000 of these men gave a profession of faith, and they took Christ as their Savior. But during this sermon, he said this: "I would rather that this right arm be amputated at the trunk than that I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message." Only a few days later, Ting left the study of his country home, and he went to visit the barn where they were shelling corn. And there was a mule there that was harnessed to a machine that was doing the shelling, and he reached out to pat the mule, and his sleeve got caught in the cogs of the wheel, and his arm was badly maimed. He passed away a week after that injury. But before he died, he was asked if he'd have a message for the ministers at the revival, and he replied, "Tell them, let us all stand up for Jesus." So his friend and fellow preacher, Dr. George Duffield, who was touched by these words, he wrote the hymn that we all know, stand up for Jesus. Duffield concluded his sermon the following Sunday by reading these lyrics as a tribute to his friend. It goes on then to say that these lyrics found its way into the Baptist newspaper, and the hymn spread from there. And that's what we know as a day, stand up for Jesus. I want to read 2 Thessalonians 3, some verses from there. Second Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3. And it talks about the request for prayer in this section. It says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it is with you, and pray that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful and will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful." And I like the idea of what he says here. It says, I'm going to read it. I think this was out of the ESV. It says, "He will establish you and he will guard you from the evil one." It doesn't say he's going to save our life. It's going to do, everything's going to be right. But he will guard us from the evil one. If we read this and we know what the truth is, we will be able to be guarded through Christ's love and what Christ has done for us and our knowledge of him. Number 4, are we ready to sacrifice? Our Lord and Savior gave the ultimate sacrifice, as we know. But he exchanged his life for our sins, his life for our continued forgiveness, his life for our ability to live with him forever. His sacrifice is our only option to be united with a just God, for us to be forgiven and to be united with a just God. No one can spend eternity with God by what they think they can or cannot do, or how good of a person they believe they are. They must believe in Christ. They must believe in the forgiveness of our sins, or they cannot be with a just God. The next section of verses is Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 12 through 14. This is what it says. Hebrews 10, 12 to 14. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." And this is the verse I want to point out. "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So remember that. For him giving his life in one offering, he has made perfect for every single person that is sanctified through him. So what does it mean to sacrifice for us? My question is, what value do you put on your time? What value do you put on your money, your freedoms, property, investments, whatever takes your commitment? You can put anything in that sentence. Whatever takes your commitment, what value do you put on that? And I was reading about the Russian Christians in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and I believe they were pretty close to where we were a few years ago. Maybe not as advanced in technology, things like that, but they had wealth, like we have wealth in the United States. There's properties, there's freedoms that we have that we take for granted, and they had all that as well. But it suddenly changed. Everything they had, their properties were taken away from them and given them to their communist, the people that were coming in and taking the communist parties. Their freedoms were restricted, and then their freedoms were completely taken away. Ministers could not work in most organizations. They lost their school. On Sunday, it was completely abolished. They weren't allowed to have a day of rest or worship Christ. And many of these Christians sacrificed everything they worked for, and what did they do? They fled. They left their earthly belongings behind, and they had all this material wealth, but they fled. My question is, could you leave what you worked so hard for? Like, could you leave it behind? And why would you leave it? Could you leave it to save your faith, your family? And would you stay around and be indoctrinated by the negativity of the people, like the Communist Party here, and could not sacrifice those personal belongings? No matter if it's persecution, illness, abuse, disaster, you can put anything in there. We must put our hope in God. And so I'd say this is what this means. It means that having faith, that we believe his word is truth, that it is true. We believe he is in control, and we believe that he already has the victory. Because why? We know the story. We know what's going to happen. When we take a look into the future, tribulation, ridicule, and even death are small pieces of sand in the dunes of eternity. So many people in this world are choosing not to commit to an almighty God. They're choosing the love of material wealth. They're choosing to love what they have rather than what does the Bible say? The Bible says to choose to love the loving the least of these for people that they can help. Choosing to fold rather than stand for what the Bible says about righteousness and faithfulness. And having a mindset that it's all about me instead of denying self and investing in those around them. My challenge for the day is this. This week, this month, whatever it may be, go the extra mile for somebody that comes to your mind. You know, have a pay it forward attitude. Help them. You might not receive anything right now, might not receive anything in this year, but you will receive a reward in the end. So if you remember anything from this morning, here's what I would like you to remember, is that we are called. And what are we called for? We are called to commit. We are called to love. We are called to stand. And we are called to sacrifice, no matter what that is. One thing I work with a lot in the corporate environment is what they call the flywheel concept. And as I was sitting and putting these four things together, it came to my mind that if you could actually make this turn, if you can do one, then the other, and you keep this rolling, you're gonna grow your faith, and you're gonna be able to help a lot more people. And so if you start with commit. That's the first part of the flywheel. Commit's going to do what? Committing is going to... Our faith and our Christ-like attitude will lead to love. And if we have love, it will allow us to stand. And I might say this, maybe it allows us to stand and it might allow you to stand out. People might wonder who you are, what you're doing, why you're doing that, and they might be... They might question what you're doing, but you will have a platform to share what God has done for you. And if you stand, it will require a sacrifice. Because the one true God already gave his sacrifice, and when he died for us, it will give us areas that we can sacrifice in our life. And as we sacrifice and we give up what we have, it will require us to commit, as we commit to a one true and holy God. Let's pray and just think about what we can do this week. Let's have a word of prayer. Just remember these four things as you commit your life. Lord, I just want to pray this morning for what we do each week, every day, our thoughts and the people that we come in contact with, Lord, that we can be bold, that we can stand for you, that we can love them no matter what. And I just pray that you would strengthen each one here, bless this service and bless those that came out. And I just pray for strengthening and boldness for each and every one, Lord. Just thank you, watch over us, and go with us throughout the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I would actually like to sing two shorter songs.